This is the Canadian Tax Podcast with me, Cameron Ware. Good morning. With being tax season, I thought I'd just jump into doing some, I guess we'll call it the tax season special. Basically, I'm just going to answer questions as they come up. There's not going to be any fancy editing or, you know, anything like that. I'm basically just doing this live. I figured it's better to get the information out there for listeners than try to make it, you know, pretty unpolished. So with that in mind, I've got three questions this morning. The first one, individual, small one-person incorporated business. He asks, you know, I've transitioned to an investment corporation in the past year. This will be the first year I'll file as an investment corp. I received a T3 from a mutual fund company that my corp's put some money into. I understand T3 data has to be entered into the Schedule 3 of the T2, but I'm having difficulty transposing the T3 information into the schedule. Blah, blah, blah. It wants to put boxes 49, 23, 25. Says he or she not sure how to enter this information. The terminologies between the two documents don't seem to match. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what we're working with here is you're looking at a T3 slip, which is basically, I'll just put it simply, the T3 slip, any T-slip for that matter, is made for the T1 personal tax returns, not T2s, especially when you factor in the fact that a corporate tax return and T2 return is not necessarily on a calendar year fiscal period. So trying to enter T3 info using box numbers into a T2, it just doesn't work. Separately, the T2 is not even set up for that. There is no, you know, enter box number this on this line, etc. It's actually based on your corporate bookkeeping, your corporate records, and the T-slips just basically supplement that information. So this guy's talking about, I mean, box numbers he's quoting, he's got dividends, interest, foreign income, that kind of thing. And so you're not just looking at the Schedule 3 of the T2, that is for dividend reporting. You're also looking at having to use probably a Schedule 6 for capital gains and a Schedule 7 for other investment income and foreign income. So, I mean, what you're trying to do here to basically plug and play box numbers into a corporate T2, that's not really how that works. You've got to fill out the other schedules. And if you are on an off non-calendar year, fiscal year, you'll need to adjust and tweak your numbers to take that into consideration as well. So good luck with that. Usually I say for investment corps, that kind of thing, try to get professional help. It can be a mess. And the tax rates on that, you're not using small business income rates, you're using the investment income rates, which is here, you're looking at 38% federal tax, 12% per, actually, I guess it's a blended percentage here in Alberta now. It's, I don't know, 11.5%, something like that. Either way, the tax rates on investment income really, really high compared to your small business rates. So you want to make sure you get it right. Otherwise, if CRA reassesses you, you're looking at bigger back taxes. And I guess interest on the taxes as well. Anyway, moving on. This is a comment from a business forum. A guy says, or he or she says, I still file paper tax returns every year. I'd love to net file, but I cannot accept the condition, quote, you need to keep all your tax information slips, receipts, and documents for 6 years after you file your tax return in case CRA asks to see them. 6 years is too long, and I'm afraid I may lose slash cannot find, for example, charitable donations, he says. Whereas if I send in the paper return, CRA will be responsible for safekeeping of the receipts I sent in if they want to review later. Am I the only one who thinks that way? Whether or not you're the only one that thinks that way is not the right way to look at it. How you're approaching this is you're trusting CRA to be competent and do the right thing. And rule number one around here is don't trust CRA to do anything right ever. Case in point, if you want to review the LaRue case, way back in 96, an auditor came out to Mr. LaRue's business and the gentleman provided CRA with his books, records, receipts, all that stuff, and off the auditor went. And long story short, he put the Mr. LaRue's records into the shredding pile. and they got shredded. So then they came back and said, well, Mr. LaRue, we don't have your books and records here. You can't prove your expenses. We're reassessing you for $900,000, essentially. And of course, the guy said, what are you talking about? I gave you my books and records. And they said, yeah, well, we had them. Now we don't. So that's not our problem. That's your problem. If you can't produce your books and records, that's on you. And yeah, it went to tax court. It was litigated, absolute mess. Caused all sorts of problems. I won't get into the details here, but the point is, don't rely on CRA to do anything right ever. You know, they do the best they can, and in a lot of ways it works, but make sure you have a backup plan. And the point is, always keep your own copies of books and records no matter what. So anyway, I think that handles that one. Moving on, next one. This listener says, last year, ETF company I invested in merged with another one, which makes it look like a buy sell in the eyes of the tax department. I filed a T-2058, and that was that. This year, so it'd be 2020 tax season, he was issued an almost duplicate of the same T-5008. This guy called called the investment firm, and they confirmed that no merger took place. And the investment firm's also confused. Blah, blah, blah. Information is uploaded on my CRA account as a T-5008. It makes it look like I had proceeded the dispositions. What do I do here? This is a mess. And basically what I'll say here is the T-5008s, don't rely on them. Yes, they are issued. Yes, they are a tax lift that CRA sees, but they are not always correct. And similar to my earlier point where I talked about keeping all your own books and records, you are actually responsible to keep track of your own, in this case, cost basis. You need to keep track of what happens in your broker account. Your broker does the best they can, but there's actually a tax case that this was litigated the other day, it was about last year, and it was a case with TD, and the individual basically said, hey, TD owed me a duty of care to do this stuff correctly. And the judge ruled, no, not at all. You know, they do what they can, but it's up to the individual taxpayer to stay on top of these things. So the point is, if you're issued an incorrect T-5008, that's fine. Ignore it. Fill your stuff out correctly. It's likely that that CRA might look into this. I might query you and say, hey, what's going on here? Just provide your records. You can say, look, here's my, here's my purchase price. Here's my sale or merger, whatever. But as long as you can produce your own records to say what's going on there, CRA will leave you alone. Like I said, step one is they'll throw out a query and say, hey, you know what happened here? And as long as you can explain what's going on, they'll leave it alone. It's not like, say, you know, you miss a T4. Yeah, CRA is going to look into that and likely say, no, we're going to include that as income. Whereas a T-5008, it's really a non-issue. Speaking from personal experience, I mean, our tax software here specifically has a provision to ignore T-5008s when you do the autofill my return. A lot of times, you know, a broker will issue one paper T-5008 to the taxpayer, but on CRA's end, the broker issues 190. I've seen up to about 600. That was a pretty bad one. A lot of trading going on there. But the point is, even on our end, you can ignore the T-5008s within reason. I mean, the assumption is that you have your records to back these things up, but you need to. You know, in this case, for this listener, you don't need to stress it too much. If it's an incorrect T-5008, skip it. CRA might query it as long as you have your backup books and records tracking your actual ACB, your actual sales, purchases, that kind of thing. You'll be just fine. So with that, I think we are going to wrap this up. As always, if you have any questions, just email questions@CanadianTaxPodcast.ca. Have a good day. This commentary is for general informational purposes only and deals with complicated and time-sensitive info that may not apply to your situation. Tax rules are always changing, and this information may not be current. Tax is complicated. This information is not tax advice. Don't rely on this info to make tax decisions. Hire a professional to help you. For more info, see canadiantaxpodcast.ca/disclaimer.